A leper came to Jesus, begging him, and kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And after sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. Here ends the reading, and thanks be to God. Well, we have reached the end of this first chapter of Mark, which is a very full and busy chapter. And if you'd like a full recap of the immense amount of things that have happened in this chapter, you can go and look back at last week's sermon. Go to the website and hear it or read it there. I gave a good recap of all the activity and busyness that is contained in this chapter. And in the last half of it, this time after Jesus was, after he gets baptized and calls his disciples, is a series of three healing stories. We read one 2 weeks ago and read the second one last week and then the one that we read today. And there's an interesting evolution in these stories that I think is very intentional on the part of whoever wrote this gospel. And that Jesus' first healing here, he calls the disciples and then they go to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath they go into the synagogue. And in the synagogue is a man with an unclean spirit. And Jesus, by power of word, calls that unclean spirit out of the man. And then from the synagogue, they go to Simon's house. And there, his mother-in-law has a fever. And Jesus reaches out to her, takes her hand, pulls her out of the bed, and her fever goes away. And then after that, Jesus goes out into the countryside to preach, because his mission is to proclaim the message to all of Galilee. And while out in the countryside, he encounters this man who has leprosy. And so Jesus is, he begins in the religious space, in the synagogue, in the holy place. And from there moves into the private space, the home. And then from the private space moves out into the public space, into the cities, and then even into the countryside, out into the wilderness, providing healing and cleansing, providing restoration of body. But also, I think more importantly, restoration of wholeness, of soul, of people's place in community. By declaring them clean, he's declaring that they are fit to be in right relationship with God and to be part of the community again. And Jesus is leading us through some change in thought, into thinking not just that God is in the synagogue or in the temple, but that God is also present in the private places, in our homes, and also our hearts, our minds, the private places of our personal struggles, our personal demons, the things that we struggle with that we don't tell anyone about, the things that are so private that no one knows. God is present there as well. And God is present in the public places, not just in here, not just in our homes, but in our malls, in our schools, our offices, our parks, our Capitol buildings and our courthouses. And God is present in the desolate areas, the wilderness areas. And especially even in those places, Jesus makes his way to the wilderness, to the desolate, to the countryside, the places of maybe our most private struggles and deepest suffering. And then Jesus becomes unable to leave that place. He takes the place of the leper in this story. Because that's what Jesus does. That's who Jesus is. He stands in the wilderness, in our hospitals, in our prisons, stands with the mentally ill or the social refuse, the sick and the suffering. Jesus stands where there is urban decay and gang warfare. Jesus is with the lonely and the excluded. Jesus is present, I think, even in interchurch squabbles, such as what is happening at Grace, or even the greater squabbles between say the anti-science churches and those churches that are okay with science. He stands in the midst of it and says, I am here. And this struggle, this uncleanness that you have is not what was intended for you. This is not God's plan for you. And Jesus offers healing and restoration. The leper comes to him and says, if you choose, you can make me clean. And Jesus chooses to do so. He reaches out and touches the man. With Simon's mother-in-law, he reaches out and takes her hand and lifts her up. The leper, Jesus touches the leper. This was an awful thing at the time, to touch a leper. It's considered incredibly dangerous, and it also makes you ritually unclean and impure. But Jesus touches the man and makes him clean in this physical an intimate moment. And then Jesus gives this stern warning. He says, tell no one. And Jesus says that a number of times throughout the Gospels after he's healed someone or done something really incredible that you'd think he'd want people to know about. He says, now tell no one. Don't let anyone know that I have done this. Tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. There was in the law a sacrifice required after one is made clean again as a sacrifice of thanksgiving. But I don't think Jesus is just telling the man necessarily to go and obey the law now that you have been clean. I think there might even be some anger in here or some sarcasm toward the priests on Jesus' part, saying, go and tell those high and mighty priests who could do nothing for you except to tell you that you have to leave the community, that you have to exile yourself out in the wilderness because you're unclean. Go tell these priests who could do nothing for you except to make you an outcast so that they don't have to be near you, or so that any of the other kind of decent, good people don't have to be near you. Go and show them that you are clean and that you do have a right to be in the community, that you are one of God's children and that you are part of the kingdom. Go and maybe stick it in their face a little bit and claim your rightful place as part of God's community. But the man does not obey. He starts proclaiming freely and spreading the word. Simon's mother-in-law, after she has been healed, becomes a servant. She becomes the first deacon, the one who serves within the community. She serves Jesus and the disciples. And this man is the first evangelist in the Gospel of Mark. He immediately goes and proclaims to people what has happened to him. He tells his story. And you can see how easy it is to be an evangelist. It doesn't have to be a scary word to be an evangelist. It just means to tell your story, to tell people about what you have experienced and invite them to come and share in that with you. Simple things. To say, my church, we have so much fun. Can I invite you to come and be part of that? Or my church is so caring. May I invite you to come join us for worship so that you can experience the love that I experience? My kids have learned so much. I invite yours to join us in Sunday school or vacation Bible school. Our music is so good and uplifting. Thank you. You would love it. Can I pick you up on Sunday morning and bring you in? It's as simple as that. Not very difficult, but it does require some vulnerability in that you talk of your experience, but it doesn't require that you prove to someone why they ought to be here or to threaten them with eternal judgment or quote scripture at them. Just speak to them of what you have experienced. Much like you would recommend a movie or a book or a restaurant that you found particularly good or meaningful. Invite someone to come share in whatever it is that you experience here so that others may know it. And this man that Jesus healed does that. He goes out and proclaims to the people what has happened to him. And the word gets around so that Jesus can no longer enter the city. But crowds come out to him. People go where he is. And the text is unclear as to exactly what has happened here, why Jesus can't go to the city. But I don't think it's just because if he goes to the city, there's too many people there. I think the big part is that word gets around probably that Jesus has touched this man. And so now the community knows that Jesus is unclean because he's touched a leper. And being unclean, he's not allowed in the city. Lepers were not allowed in the city. So this is a sacramental and sacrificial moment when Jesus touches the man to take away his healing. He heals the leper of his uncleanness by taking it upon himself. The man gets to go back to the city, but now Jesus cannot. I will take the burden of your uncleanness so that you may be free. Jesus takes the man's place, and Jesus has to stay out in the wilderness. Because that's who Jesus is. But people go to him. The text says, people came to him from every quarter. And maybe it's just me in the way that I interpret the actions of the people, but I imagine that the people that go out to Jesus are the ones who are saying to the religious authorities, your doctrine and your dogma, your literalist interpretation of the law, your obsession with cleanness and uncleanness, your need to build barriers that exclude, that make an in-group and an out-group, that your need for religious purity is not helpful. It's not helping us at all. And in fact, it's harmful. It does more hurt than it helps. And it seems that the only people it actually does help are you. You who are at the top. And that's one of the reasons our tradition in the United Church of Christ and other Protestant traditions have, we don't have doctrine or creeds or tests of faith. One of the reasons that we're open and affirming here, why we're okay with science and why we speak out against those who would have us believe that we can't accept reality or that we can't go to heaven if we use contraception or can't go to heaven if we listen to rock and roll or dance or play cards or whatever all these restrictions that people like to come up with are or even having that we could be doing something bad by having Jewish music in our worship service. We say no to all of that and say yes to that which is helpful and loving and good and which includes. Jesus is in the holy places, certainly, and in the private places and in the public places, including our laboratories and our research centers. And is there not to look for reasons to condemn or to find fault? Or to look for new ways to exclude or to tell people why they're wrong? But Jesus is there to heal, to bring wholeness, to bring life into those places. And by healing, to expand the circle of inclusion and eliminate the barriers that separate us. And Jesus is there looking for new ways to include and to make the kingdom of God a reality here on earth and in our lives. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing presence that restores wholeness of life and calls us into community regardless of who we are or where we are on our journey, regardless of what we have done or left undone. We pray that that spirit of love continue to fill this congregation and that it grow even larger. And may it continue to fill our hearts and continue to grow ever larger until it moves into the wilderness areas. and touches us and our neighbors with your gospel of love and grace and wholeness of life in all places. Amen.